Blog Talk Radio.
Publisher of Op-Ed News, and he has his own radio show, Bottom Up Radio, and he does a lot of other things. He's a political activist, and he's active all over the place, and we're waiting for him to call in. But meanwhile, Thursday, I got a special treat for you, too. I got Finney Cunningham and Paul Craig Roberts coming on. That'll be Thursday. That'll be a taped interview because Finian's in some place in East Africa, and he doesn't want me to ever disclose where he's really from. For security reason, I guess. And Paul Craig Roberts is, I think he's in Chicago. I don't know where he is. But anyway, it's going to be in the evening tomorrow. So I'll let you know. I'll put a post on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. So meanwhile, we're waiting for Rob Call to call in. And when he does, we'll see what Rob Call has to say about this wonderful DNC convention we had last night. I don't know if you saw it, but Bernie spoke. And got quite an ovation. A lot of people crying. That's what I noticed. A lot of people crying. They wanted Bernie. And I wanted Bernie. But I don't want Hillary. Yeah. So that's just one thing we'll be talking to Rob about today. And he was at the DNC. So I don't know if he stayed for the whole thing, but I know he got caught in the rain, got soaked. So I don't know whether he stayed for the whole thing or not. We'll find out. Unless he forgot the radio show is on. So let's hope he didn't. Let's hope that he calls in. And I'm dying to hear what he has to say. And I also want to find out what's going on in Op-Ed News and what his readership thinks and progressives over in Philly think. I want to find out whatever he thinks. I know what I think, but we're not here to talk about me right now. We're here to hear from Rob Call. And, I respect Rob. He's a straight-on guy. we have quite a history, Rob and I do. But so that, you know, we've had our disagreements. We're okay with each other, and I'm just dying to for him to call in and say exactly what it is he wants to say. Rob, if you're out there and you don't remember the number, it's 713-955-0492. That's 713-955-0492. We're still waiting for Rob to call. I know he's a busy guy. He publishes op-ed news, which I write for. You know, I write for op-ed news because I like it. You know, I like the people on op-ed news, and you know, I like to listen, I like to hear the comments. I like to read other articles on there, and it's interesting. You know, not to get off the subject while we're waiting for Rob to call here. Sometimes I wonder where they come up with all this millennial crap. You know, I'm 65 years old, and I'm probably more left than most millennials will ever hope to be. So, and there's a lot of people on op-ed news that pretty far to the left too. Well, here we go. Let's see here. Oh, okay. Where are we? Rob, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. I thought you might have forgot about us again. Okay,
I'm sorry.
I told everybody that, you know, you publish op-ed news. And sometimes I write for op-ed news, and you know, it was a great community on op-ed news. And I know you went to the convention, and I want your take on it.
Well, I didn't actually go to the convention. I on Saturday I went and attempted to attend the Rules Committee meeting, and they kept the general public out. And then I went to the People's Revolution Conference, and that was amazing. And I heard Nina Turner and Jill Stein speak there, and others. And then yesterday I went down to the protest area where the DNC was being held. So that's what I've done.
Well, that was quite a lot. And I'm sure Jill Stein had something interesting to say.
Ah, I love what she had to say. She's great. She's everything Bernie in terms of position and more.
I love Jill Stein. You know, if Bernie wasn't running as a Democrat, I would have put all my support behind Jill Stein. But, you know, I don't like the Greens that much because they don't have much cojones, you know what I mean? They don't fight hard enough, but Jill does. And I love Jill Stein. In fact, I'm a contributor, you know, and did you get a chance to listen to all the speeches?
Last night?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get home until Elizabeth Warren was in the middle of her speech. I basically was down at the protest area, and by the time I got the subway and the train home, Elizabeth Warren was halfway done. So I got to hear Bernie, and that's about it, and half of Elizabeth Warren's talk.
Well, Elizabeth Warren was pretty good, and she really commended Bernie for really getting the DNC to go a little bit to the left. And Bernie was great. Bernie was great. And he said that his 1,900 delegates, he's glad they showed up and he helps they vote. But he did concede and he did support Hillary Clinton, which didn't surprise me.
Wait a second. I'm not sure I heard him concede. I heard him say that he wanted people to support Hillary, but there's a vote. There's a roll call vote coming up and he hasn't exceeded. So we'll see what happens. You know, I've been holding on to thinner and thinner threads of hope, but who knows?
Well, you know, that's what I thought he was going to say. When he said, I want everybody to be at the roll call vote, I thought he was going to see it right through like he said he would. And then he went on about how great Hillary Clinton is. And to tell you the truth, Rob, she scares the living daylights out of me. Yeah.
That's a very rational thing to say. I agree.
I don't see any difference, really. And I swear to God, I don't see any difference between her and Donald Trump. None. She's not going to, I don't believe that she's going to stand by anything the platform rules committee comes up with. And I don't believe she's going to do anything she says she's going to do. And they all talked about how wonderful a person she is and how much she cares about people when all I see is a sociopath. Yeah.
We're in 100% agreement.
It's sickening.
That's no fun for a radio show. We got to disagree on something, Tim. Come on.
Well, there was one time we disagreed.
Yes, and you were right.
I don't want to get into it, but I voted for Barack Obama in 2008. I held my nose and I went in there, even though I knew he was a liar, and he was taking corporate donations. And I held my nose and I went in and voted for him because I live in South Carolina and I knew that most of the votes in South Carolina were going to go to McCain anyway. But I did vote for him. The second time, I didn't vote. And I kicked myself in the ass for not voting because I could have voted for congressmen. I could have voted for school board people. I could have voted for sheriffs. I could have voted for a lot of things, and I just didn't vote. I was so disgusted. Barack Obama, as much as I kind of like admire the guy in a way, he's one of the biggest sellouts we've ever had, ever, you know. And
well, there you go, doing it again. We're agreeing. I mean, you know, my reason that I voted for Jill Stein in 2000. I voted for Obama in 2008 with all the, you know, hope and changey stuff. And then everything changed. And so I voted for Jill Stein in 2012. And I basically don't like Obama. He's in terms of whistleblowers, which I've attempted to be very supportive of, and Op-Ed News has been very supportive of. He's been the worst president in the history of America, prosecuting more whistleblowers than all other presidents combined.
So, not only that, he's deported more people than all presidents combined.
TPP, he's supporting, he's pushing for that to go through. I think that's his retirement plan, TPP.
I think they're going to make him a Supreme Court judge. I mean, here's a guy who can't make up his mind about anything, and they're going to make him a Supreme Court judge.
There's no way he's going to. Oh, so now we have something to disagree on. There's no way he's going to want to be a Supreme Court judge. No way. He's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars because he set it up, and he's going to start smoking cigars in public, and he's going to be another Al Gore. You know, Al Gore. After he lost the presidency, his stock in Google was worth about $300 million. So, you know, he's a hundred millionaire, maybe a billionaire by now. Obama's going to be the same way. He's going to make the money that the Clintons have look like chump change.
Yeah. I don't know. The Clintons are pretty well off. I mean, you know, what they say they have and what they really have are two different things. I mean, they've been amassing fortunes and everything else since Arkansas, you know? Hillary Clinton turns my stomach. I mean, when I see all these Democrats up there sitting there telling about how great Hillary Clinton is, and then you saw the disparity when Bernie Sanders started talking, and you actually saw 50% of the crowd crying. They were actually crying.
Oh, yeah.
And that really hit me hard. You know, I almost started crying.
Well, you know, it makes me think. I've been thinking a lot of the beginning of Dickens' book. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I mean, Bernie, there's no question, was the best presidential candidate who actually had a chance I ever saw in my lifetime. And would you agree on that?
Yeah, I would agree on that.
And so that was wonderful. And the hope that he gave us and the belief that we had a future in America that could be great, that could be honest, that could clean up the mess that we have, that was wonderful. So it's a big loss. It's not just him losing the election. It's us losing our hope. And that's a sad thing. But,
yeah.
You know, every time Bernie gave a talk, every time, whether he had 1,000 people or 30,000 people, he would say one thing. And what he would say is change never takes place from the top down. It always takes place from the bottom up. Every single talk he gave, he said that.
And that reminded me of you.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had conversations with him on my radio show about it. And I just wrote a piece this I just finished it within the last hour. And the title of the piece is, it's a busy day. I wrote two articles today. The Dem Platform Fulfills Bernie's Bottom-Up Vision of Change. I'll say it again. The Democratic platform fulfills Bernie's bottom-up vision of change.
You know, I hate to burst your bubble, but that platform means nothing.
Well, that's why I wrote it. I wrote it because a lot of people are saying exactly what you're saying. The article starts off, a lot of people are saying that the positions Bernie Sanders and his people negotiated in the Democratic Party platform are meaningless, are bullshit, are worthless. They say Hillary will ignore them. And I go on, the latter may be true. Hillary may very well ignore the platform, but they are very, very wrong. And the reason is, Tim, there are thousands of down-ticket Democratic candidates. They're running for Congress. They're running for the Senate. They're running for state office, city office, the school board. This Democratic platform is going to be it for 4 years. And for 4 years, Bernie has given candidates the cover of that platform to advocate for the strongest progressive positions in the history of the Democratic Party. That means that over the 4 years, tens of thousands of Democratic candidates are going to be covered by that platform. And they're going to be able to take positions that nobody would have let them take before. They're going to be able to say, this is the official Democratic Party platform. How dare you question it? And that's a big deal. What Bernie did was he enabled change to happen from the bottom up. Now,
I don't
disagree about that.
I don't disagree with what you say. But here's the reality of the situation. Is that congressional districts are so gerrymandered that these Republicans that are holding seats that they'll hold forever will never lose to Democrats.
No, you know, I would agree with you unless some things change, and the way they're going to have to change is with the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is going to have to get challenges to gerrymandering, and it's going to have to make it so that gerrymandering is no longer allowed, which it shouldn't be. You know, right? You know, the law should say that a district should represent the scientifically most concise set of borders, so it looks like a circle or a rounded square or something like that, with none of these crazy 100-mile-long, two-block-wide things happening. The crazy stuff that's being done. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, but that's not the way it is. And yeah, I'm behind Jill Stein. I mean, I'm gonna vote for her.
So am I.
Yeah, well, you know, let the chips fall where they may. You know, here's something else I'm going to say, too. And, you know, I hate Donald Trump. I really do. But, you know, there's two things I like about what he says. One is he's going to try to get along with Russia. Two, he's going to get rid of these trade agreements. And three, he's just about the most inept person I've ever seen in politics. So, you know, I would rather have Donald Trump in the White House than Hillary Clinton, because I know what she's going to do. She's going to start a war. I don't know if there's going to be another 4 years of the United States, because she's going to blow us all up. And if you think she's not going to do it, let me tell you something. The woman is going to do it. She is going to get us into a nuclear war with Russia. And you can bet your bottom dollar that that's what she's going to do. You know,
well,
that's the way I feel about it. I don't think this country has 4 years to hope and try to change things. You know, that's what really bothers me. And it also bothers my wife, and it also bothers a lot of people I know. My brother is a Republican. He hates Donald Trump as much as he hates Hillary Clinton, and he is just not going to vote. And you know what? I really can't blame him in a way. You know, I can't. I mean, Hillary Clinton has got to be like the worst candidate that the Democrats have ever nominated, ever, ever.
Do you agree again?
You know, Jill Stein, Gary Johnson is running at like 12-13%. If he gets over 15%, he gets into the debates. And you know, I would rather have Gary Johnson as president than Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. So I'm kind of holding my bets, you know. I like Jill Stein, believe me, but I would rather have Gary Johnson in there than either one of those two party duopoly people, you know.
Well,
so,
I can't argue with you there. A friend of mine lives in New Mexico, and he says Gary Johnson was a wildly popular governor for two terms. Good guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have all the issues covered, and I'll disagree with him on some of his stuff, some of the more extreme libertarian perspectives. But on a lot of issues, he's a good guy.
Yeah, they're domestic
I'm
policy.
I'm just not sure it's the best idea for him to not spoke once he's president.
Yeah. Their fiscal policies are crazy, libertarians, but you know, their foreign policy is pretty damn good. And you know, just like Rand Paul, everybody thinks he's crazy. I don't think Rand Paul's crazy. I think Rand Paul is one of the most rational Republicans that was out there. Yeah.
You know, well, you know, when I was looking at the progressive score for Tim Kaine. He came in 40 out of like 46 or 47 Democrats in the Senate.
I don't even
I noticed that I noticed that Rand Paul is the most liberal of all the Republicans.
I don't even know who Tim Kaine is. You know, I'm pretty astute at politics. Yeah. I don't even know who this guy is.
It doesn't matter. I mean, do you really know anything about Joe Biden or what he's done or what he for the last 8 years? You know, it's
Mr. Credit Card. Yeah, I know all about Joe Biden. Yeah, you know, he's so tied to the banks. I mean, you know, Joe Biden's as crooked as the day is long. But no, Tim Kaine, I don't know who he is, and I know who Hillary Clinton is. I know who she is. He's a bad person. I wrote an article for Op-Ed one time. It was called "The Worst Person in the World," and I put that clip in from YouTube when Gaddafi got the machete rammed up his butt, and she said, "We came, we saw, he died." I mean, this is a wonderful person that cares about kids. Yeah, you know, give me a break. And they all sat there, and and I saw all these people waving their arms like they were in some kind of religious ceremony, just praising the hell out of Hillary Clinton. People are so malleable. I can't believe how stupid people are. You know, and the older I get, and you're a couple of years younger than me, but really, in the last year and a half, you know, the last 2 years, I'm starting to really not like people at all. I mean, I think they're just idiots. People give shit about one thing, themselves. That's all they care about. They don't give a shit about
everybody. I don't, you know, it's not everybody. I mean, I think you care.
Yeah, and I'm one of the few. There's people out there. Don't get me wrong.
We live in a culture. You know, I'm writing this book called Bottom Up. And, you know, one of the things that really evolved as I worked on writing it was my realization that humans have changed massively since the time of civilization. And for a lot of humans, that was only a couple hundred years ago when the industrialized world reached them. You know, hundreds of millions of people are still not in the industrial world. But that culture, that top-down culture, that centralized, industrialized culture produces metaphors that give us ways of filtering and seeing the world that is selfish, that is narcissistic by nature. So we end up having a culture that raises children to be selfish, that raises children to like Ayn Rand and the Fountainhead and libertarianism, the part of libertarianism that is selfish and that doesn't care about other people.
But, you know, you sound a lot like Noam Chomsky.
Well, thank you. That's quite a compliment.
Yeah, well, you do. He's always talking about the narrative. You know what I mean?
I organized a conference on story that I ran for 6 years, bringing together all the worlds of story, because I believe that our brains evolved to process and tell stories.
Yeah, they do. You know who I'm having on my show Thursday?
No.
I got Finian Cunningham and Paul Craig Roberts coming on together.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be great.
Yeah, get to talk about World War III.
I've heard the name Finian Cunningham, but I'm not that familiar. Tell us about Finian Cunningham.
He wrote for Global Research. He writes for Press TV. He writes for Sputnik. He's in East Africa, and he got kicked out of Bahrain. Remember when I got him kicked out of Bahrain? He was on my radio show, and they kicked him out of Bahrain because they heard my radio show. So I got him kicked out of Bahrain. And we've been friends ever since.
Yikes.
He's an Irish guy, and we've been really good friends. He's he's on, he, you publish him on Op-Ed News a lot, and he's on Information Clearinghouse. He's on a lot of places, you know, and he's got a real good insight. And him and Paul Craig Roberts, they click like frickin' frack. And the things they bring up are like unbelievable. Like Putin, you know, people demonize Putin. Putin is probably the greatest statesman on the face of the earth right now. That's what I believe. You know, what do you think?
I just don't know enough about him to say that. I just don't. I haven't focused on him.
No.
I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. I don't know.
Did you hear Barack Obama's speech at the UN where he threatened Putin about starting wars in Europe and that he better watch himself and all those other kind of things? Did you hear that?
No.
It was some bellicose speech. I mean, Obama sounded like George Bush. I mean, and there's really not that much difference between Barack Obama and George Bush. In fact, I'd say Barack Obama is really worse than George Bush because he's got a charisma about him that lets him get away with more than Bush got away with. You know, and that's the trouble. You know, everybody, they love people who have a lot of charisma. They love people who can, it seems like they're talking from the heart. Meanwhile, they're lying through their teeth. And Hillary Clinton's one of them. And I just can't understand why people won't see right through this crap. You know, why would anybody not vote for Jill Stein if she's going to get rid of all these student debts? And she's got a way to do it. Why wouldn't they go out and pick it for her?
I think that that's a very good question. I guess the... You know, I posted the her talking about that, saying how she would, there are 42 million students with student loans, and she would forgive them using the powers of the presidency. And that's a very persuasive argument that she could pull a plurality of the votes. But you know, I think you know the biggest thing she's got against her is people don't think that she can win, and she's got to convince people of that.
Well, she's only on the ballot in 28 states. And it looks
I think she's going to get on most of the states' ballots.
She says she's going to get on 47 states' ballots. Look, if it's between Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein, if she gains some good momentum, and I think she might, then what happens is nobody gets a plurality. Nobody gets a majority. And it goes to Congress. And Congress picks Donald Trump. And this.
Well, that's the scary thing, right? No, I don't think they would pick Donald Trump. I don't think they would do that at all. No.
You think they'd pick Gary Johnson?
No.
Who would they pick? They have to pick somebody who was running.
Well, I think they would pick one of their own. Paul Ryan. I think they would probably take Paul Ryan, somebody like him.
We need to get rid of the Electoral College. We need to have direct voting. We need to have automatic voter registration. We need to get rid of the way the DNC pulled that crap on Bernie. You know, they didn't count 3 million votes in New York.
Let me just say, I agree, I agree, I agree, I agree, I agree. Yes, on each of those that you just listed, 100%.
Okay, let me bring up something else that Bernie never brings up, that Jill Stein brings up, and that I wrote about. Okay, I wrote about this in Op-Ed News, and I backed it up with footnotes, I backed it up with everything else. Do you know that we spent last year more money on the military industrial complex than we spent in 1945. And that budget was passed in 1944 before we knew we were going to win the war. Adjusted for inflation, we spent double in 2015, what we spent at the height of World War II, 54% of our discretionary budget goes to the military-industrial complex. That's not counting the 14 different spy agencies and everything else and the black ops and all this other crap that goes on. That's not counting the secret stash that they got going on. I'm talking about declared discretionary budget. 54% goes to the military. Military doesn't even want the stuff that they're building. And Bernie Sanders didn't talk about that once. I tried to bring it up at a campaign meeting at a Bernie Sanders rally, and I was right in front of the speaker who wrote the book on Bernie Sanders, and he knew what I was going to talk about because he heard me talking about it with my wife, and he completely ignored me. I mean, this is the problem with the country. 54% of our discretionary budget goes to the military-industrial complex. Could you imagine what they could do with $1 trillion a year as far as our infrastructure, schools, student debts, health care, you name it? Getting out of all these wars, bringing our boys back home, getting rid of the over 1,000 bases we got all over the world. I mean, where is the discussion at the DNC talking about this?
Well, again, I agree with you. This is something that the libertarians also talk a lot about. The reality is the Democrats are as warlike as the Republicans. They like war. The brilliant thing that's been done is that the giant war companies, the military industrial complex companies, like Lockheed Martin,
Raytheon,
they build plants. They put operations in 50 states so that every state they can influence the politics there. And so they get politicians who they own.
Yeah, like Bernie Sanders. They made the F-35 in Vermont. So Bernie Sanders didn't talk about any of that. And the F-35 is the biggest waste of money. They also had this thing called lateral ships. Did you ever hear about these lateral ships littoral, that's what they were called, littoral ships. They're flat-bottom boats that can supposedly deliver troops and tanks and helicopters and stuff into inland areas, inland seas and rivers and stuff like that. Each one costs like $5 billion. They don't work. They made like five of them and then scrapped the whole project. They spent like $2 or $3 trillion on these ships. Everybody talks about Medicare and Medicaid. Do you know Medicare only accounts for like 16% of the budget? Medicare and Medicaid combined only accounts for like 16% of the budget. What's wrong with people? Why don't they talk about things that matter? Why do they talk about things pie in the sky bullshit? I mean, nobody makes the point of where all this money is really going. And everybody's afraid to. Everybody's afraid to because they don't want to look un-American. This country is going down. It's going down. And I don't see much hope for it, Rob. I really don't. Do you?
Well, I'm an optimist. I've been involved in the field of positive psychology for a long time. So I see the whole world in danger. I think that it's not just this country, it's the whole world is threatened by the corporate takeover that we're seeing with these trade agreements like NAFTA and CAFTA. They are pretty much threatening, 98% of the people. We've got to deal with that, and we've got to stop that. And, that was one of, I think, one of the most attractive things that Bernie had going for them and that Jill Stein has going for her is that they're calling out the corporations. And, you know, we need to get rid of corporate personhood. That's something that Tom Hartman wrote about years and has been talking about for years and others. We've got to just take away that right. You know, corporate personhood is a travesty of justice that was never meant to be. And it's going to take either a Supreme Court decision could reverse it.
Yeah.
It basically happened because of the Supreme Court. So it could be reversed by the Supreme Court. But, you know, who knows who Hillary's going to support. You know, when Hillary appoints somebody, I'm sure that whoever she appoints is going to be pro-choice. But she may also be pro – whoever that person is may also be pro-corporation. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case.
No, I wouldn't either. You know, I wrote an article, too, on Op-Ed News, and I wrote in it that – you know, I'll let you go in a minute. I know you're a busy guy. That discontent is cumulative. You know, emotions like love and hate and envy and jealousy, they come and they go. You know what I mean? But discontent is cumulative. I mean, it builds up in people. And there's a lot of discontent in this country right now. And something's going to trigger it. Something's going to trigger it. And when it gets triggered, and it might be something very innocuous, it might be a strike, it might be, I don't know, might be somebody getting shot, you know. Something is going to trigger this discontent, and it's going to spill over. And when it does, everybody just better watch out, because there's a lot of angry people running around. And it could happen at the DNC this week. It could happen any time, and I don't know what's going to cause it, but something's going to trigger it, because the pot's boiling over right now. And, you know,
what do you think will happen when that happens?
They're going to march on Washington, and they're going to take everybody out physically and throw them out in the street. The military will probably take over, and they'll have new elections. And they'll get rid of these political parties, because people just can't stand them anymore. You know, they know what they're all about. They know what the mass media is all about. I turned TV off 2 years ago. I don't watch TV anymore. I get my news on the internet. I get my news, you know, all over the place. But I don't have any TV channels on in my house. You know, and my stress level is going down like 90%. You know, I do this radio show because I had 4 strokes and I can't type well, Rob. You know that. And so that's why I don't write a lot of articles. That's why I'm doing a lot of radio shows. And I'm trying to get somebody to help me out so I can start doing video podcasts and actually have a show like, you know, the Young Turks, who I can't stand, by the way. I mean, I agree with everything they say, but Cenk Uygur gets on my nerves. I mean, the guy pontificates and he talks down to people like they're idiots, you know. And Tom Hartman, I can't stand the guy. You know, he has some good things to say, but he's a Democrat through and through. He'll support any Democrat they put up. Adolf Hitler could have a D after his name, and Tom Hartman would be up there rallying.
Oh, come on now, Tim. I know Tom pretty well. We go back over 20 years. And he's a good guy. You know, yeah, he supports Democrats because he thinks that's the way that things get done. And I don't always agree with him, but he's a progressive. He's a progressive, and he's a very smart and wise man. So
you think so?
Yeah, I do. And your hypothetical about Hitler is silly. Come on.
Well, I was just saying that for a point. Anyway, he invited me on his show. He invited me on his show when Korea, and they worried about atomic weapons. And I said, they got more howitzers aimed at Seoul, and they could blow Seoul up without using any nuclear weapons and kill everybody in Seoul with incendiary, you know, howitzer shells and blow it to kingdom come and kill 5 million people. And all of a sudden, he wanted me on his show because I guess he thought I was a right-wing war hawk. And then I talked to his producer, who talked to me for a while, and found out that, you know, I was really a progressive. And I was just writing that from a military standpoint because I spent 6 years over there. And all of a sudden, they didn't want me on the show anymore because I guess they didn't have anybody to pick on, really. So,
I've talked to Tom about this. Tom likes to argue with conservatives. He doesn't like to have liberals on as much.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a liberal. I don't know if I'm a progressive because I don't know what that means. You know, and this term they use, neoliberal, what a bunch of crap. You know, neoliberal, what the hell is a neoliberal?
A neoliberal is somebody who supports corporations and who embraces the political partnership of corporations and politicians.
It's just another way to make liberal a dirty word. You know, just say pro-corporate, neoliberal. No, I'm a liberal. You're a liberal. Progressive.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I think Chris Hedges wrote a book about the death of the liberal class.
I like Chris Hedges.
And basically, you know, he described how, you know, liberals sell out. Liberals settle. And, you're a progressive. I know you well enough, Tim. You're a progressive. You're not a liberal. Liberals vote for Hillary. Progressives vote for Bernie. Liberals put up with the lesser of two evils again and again and again and again. And I just turned 65, and I just decided I'm not going to vote for the lesser evil anymore. I'm just not going to do it. And people can say I'm unrealistic. People can say I'm voting for Trump. But I can say you're voting for evil. Maybe lesser evil, but you're voting for evil.
And I don't think Hillary is the lesser evil. I think she's just as evil as Donald Trump. So, anyway, that's what we agree on.
I think that Hillary is a more predictable evil. Trump is, the thing is, Trump is such a narcissistic, chronic liar. You don't know what he's going to do. He could do good stuff. He could be a lot better than Hillary in a lot of ways, but you don't know because he's so unpredictable and untrustworthy.
And he has no policy.
And I'll tell you, I have this theory. I have this theory that the kind of people who are supporting Donald Trump are the victims of abuse and molestation.
Yeah, I believe
and
that.
Basic.
And you know what else? People who vote for Trump are voting for Trump because we had a black president. And that just rubs them the wrong goddamn way. Yeah. These people are crazy. They're crazy. So anyway.
Well, you would know about that in the state you're in more than I do in Pennsylvania. I think you'd probably see it more out.
I see more racism in Pennsylvania than I see in South Carolina. And I'll
do you really?
Yeah, my wife is from Hatboro. I see more racism in Pennsylvania than I've ever seen in South Carolina. Let me tell you that. People in South Carolina are nice to each other. Black, white, doesn't matter. You know, they're nice, and they call each other sir and ma'am, Mr. Tom and Mr. Tim, and you know, and they call them Miss Ellie, and you know, believe me, Pennsylvania is one of the racist states I've ever been in, and I'm from New York. I've seen it in New York, but never like I've seen it in Pennsylvania. I hate to burst your bubble. You know.
Okay. Well, I thought you were in South Carolina too.
I am in South Carolina.
Oh, you're in South Carolina, really?
I am in South Carolina. And, you know, people are nice to each other in South Carolina. Believe it. I see black people and white people hanging out together all the time. I see them ride motorcycles together. You know, the race problem in South Carolina, there's so many black people in South Carolina. These people can't afford to be racist anymore. You know, it just doesn't happen. You don't hear of a race riot in South Carolina. Yeah, come on. You don't hear cops shooting black people in South Carolina. They half the cops are black. Yeah, come on. And Pete, South Carolina's got a bad rap. You know, I'm not saying this place is perfect. It isn't. It's full of a lot of right-wing Republicans. But it isn't like you think it is. You know, South Carolina's got a bad rap. You know, they put up with me. And, you know, here's the deal. I'm trying to find somebody to, I hate to keep you any longer. I'll make it short. I need to find somebody to help me with my, with getting online on video and stuff and hooking up my computer. If you know anybody, give them my email. You know, and let them give me some hints or something. I know you know a lot of people. And if anybody's listening to this podcast, you know, go ahead and drop me a line. My email's on, you know, timgatto1@hotmail.com. And I need help. I want to get into a podcast. My ratings are going up. I'm starting to get on the air every day now. And my show use. I had 20,000 podcasts when I had Finian and PCR on a couple of years ago. I had 20,000 podcasts. And now it's running around 20, 30. I mean 20, 30, not 1,000, 20, 30. But it's going up. Every day my stats go up. So, you know, I'm going to try to write again. But I'm having a hard time putting pictures on op-ed news. And I'm having a hard time typing. So you're not going to see as much writing as you used to from me. But I'm going
to
write.
Well, I don't make this order. I don't make this offer to everybody, but I would certainly be willing to walk you through by phone how to get pictures up.
I would like that.
I think we've got a really easy system. I use other systems, and I think we have a really easy one. I think we have the best in the world, literally, for finding copyright-free and open-source images that you can use. The best in the world.
I try.
I'll mention that we're just bringing out a freestanding version of it, commonssearch.com. It's based on the idea of Creative Commons and Commons
right.
Search with two S's. .com is something that people can try out for free, and then we're offering options for different plans for using it to find images and make it easier to ethically use images that are free to use.
Okay, so I can go there and I can download that picture and then go to the legacy part and use it for my legacy pictures, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want, like I said, I'll walk you through how to use it for using old pictures that you've had.
Okay, that sounds good. Rob, you've been a real good friend. You really have. And I know there was a time when we didn't agree. And you know, you were big enough to say you know, you were mistaken, and I really respect that. I respect that name.
And you were big enough to apologize because you went a little overboard in your response too. I was wrong.
I did.
You know, we are friends. I can't wait to come back to Pennsylvania so we can get together again. Let's make that happen. I hope you can get up here. And
I'm
let me get back to work.
Okay, you get back to work. Thanks for being on my show. Come on again.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Rob Call. He's a very interesting guy, really is. We had kind of a disagreement for a while, and we straightened it out. If anybody wants to call in, you know, the number is 713-955-0492. That's 713-955-0942. If you want to call in and, you know, say something about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or whoever floats your boat. You know, I hate to just get off after being on for a little while and everything seems to be going smooth. That interview went pretty smooth. I hope the interview when Finian Cunningham and Paul Craig Roberts come on Thursday, I'm going to have to do it by Skype. And what's really hard about doing it by Skype is you got to do a conference call on Skype, and sometimes somebody doesn't come through. And Paul Craig Roberts is a busy guy, and so is Finian Cunningham, and I just can't take the time to keep him on there and keep hoping I can get the connections working. So I'm going to have to do it right like the first time. And it's going to be Thursday, and probably the interview is going to take place at noon tomorrow. And I'm going to upload the podcast to Blog Talk Radio, and it'll probably be on like Thursday night at 8 or 9 o'clock, probably 8 o'clock at night. I'm going to upload that podcast. And you can get the podcast of this, the interview I just had with Rob Call. You can get that by going to Blog Talk Radio and listening to the podcast, or you can get it by going to my site, which is liberalpro@blogspot.com. And you can get the podcast, all my shows there, plus a couple of articles I write, a couple of articles I take from other sites, things that interest me, maybe they interest you. And if you want to, if you really want to, you can subscribe to it by going to the, there's a G on there, I think it is, which sends you everything that's posted on liberalpro.blogspot.com. And, so just type in Liberal Pro. It'll take you there. And, that's about it for me. I don't see anybody calling in. But, we're trying to get ratings up. I'm trying to get somebody to help me do a video cast, I got the equipment and everything. I just don't know how to set it up right. If you want to talk to me over the phone, my telephone number is 864-221-3112. Want to give me a call? I'm retired. I'm around all the time. Just give me a call and walk me through it. Tell me how to do it. I got a webcam. I got another one, a recorder, video recorder. I got soundboards. I got everything. I just don't know how to hook it up, mainly because I had four strokes, and it's hard for me to. I can't wrap my head around some things, especially when it comes to plugging in things, and typing. I have a hard time typing, so I'm doing my best. That's why I'm on the radio. So. If you want to hear me, you want to hear what I got to say, go ahead and listen to me and pass these podcasts around, and let's see if we can get some better guests on the show. If anybody knows of anybody that wants to come on the show, go ahead and let me know. And, my email is timgatto, timgatto1@hotmail.com. Or you can write me on Op-Ed News, or you can write me on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to become a guest, you got something to say. I'd like to get some more people involved in... 60
seconds.
I'd like to get more people involved, and get this thing going. I don't want to pontificate. I don't want to keep telling you how I feel about things. You probably know how I feel about things. I'm hoping maybe something's going to tick. Something's going to go on. We're gonna get out of this somehow. Okay, here we go. Thank you.
for a rant, a chant from a voice in the sand, cause I ain't following or swallowing these hollowing cantations of exploitation. They keep advocating, building on false foundations, based upon sweatshop nations. I say don't wear it down, tear it down, take the wealth, share it round. Without work, as you see, there be no societies to be found. The rich keep thieving, but they haven't been needing to spend. They're the lion's share, go to those who have no need for it. Babies are starving while they're calling brand names in their back. You wonder why I say China and attack. Hell yeah, I'm a socialist. You notice by the way my words flow. This ain't no joke, and every word that I've spoken to show this. Capitalism is a thrill and a greed. Fuck what they want, I'm interested in what the whole world needs.
With a rhythm, with a rhythm, with a noise in your head, with a voice when the pulse ain't no fucking more. This is the sound of it all coming down the hill.